You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. I am Pete Schwabe. It is great to have you here with us. Greg Bach is here tonight. I'm saying that like it's a different thing. It's not. He is my awesome co-host, and Dom Lee is producing the show from Madison tonight. It is great to have you here on this beautiful Tuesday night on a gorgeous May evening in the state of Wisconsin. How are you guys tonight? Greg, how's it going?
You know what? All right.
Oh, boy.
You know, again, it's just another one of those. It's a day. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't terrible. But I'm here, and we're here to have fun, and I'm excited that we're gonna have a great show.
It's gonna be fantastic.
I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Did you become a gangster since yesterday? That's my question.
Ooh. I did not. Completely slipped my mind.
Oh, don't do it. You know,
it was on my list. Well, it was on my list of things to do, and then I forgot. And I'm like, well, if I'm not doing it now, then I'm probably not that important in the first. It's like when you forget something. Like when you forget what you're gonna say, you're like, well, it couldn't be that important if I forgot it. So yeah, I'll do it later, maybe.
You can never be a made guy with a name like Bach.
Oh, no. The best I could be is like a henchman in a mob, but I could never be in the mafia. I know that I've seen too many documentary films like Goodfellas and The Godfather to know better.
You could be the heavy, though, or muscle, as they say. You could be the hired muscle.
Yeah. But I always wanted to be the guy who, like, you know, they got a guy like tied up to a chair and like, where's my money? And I walk and going, hey, man. Why don't you have the money? Let's talk about that. You know, like, what's going on, man? Like, you took money in good faith. You said you'd pay us back. What's going on? Like, why aren't you paying us? And is it something more than just, like, I forgot? Like, I want to get into this, you know? I want to understand.
Your mob nickname would be the Voice of Reason, which
might
limit you, but that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm brought in for very, very, very few
very specific
capers.
Collections.
Exactly.
Hey, this is great, folks. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be talking cycling at 5:35 tonight with Bill Bertram. He is the board president of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. And we have a really cool, I would say, element or part of the earth that makes cycling very appealing here in Wisconsin. We're going to talk all about that with Bill. That'll be a fun talk. And then in hour number two, the outstanding music reporter and critic, Piet Levy, will be here talking about Summerfest. The lineup was recently announced, and we'll break that down for you guys tonight. Greg Bach, as you may or may not know, is a huge music aficionado. I love music. Piet writes about music. Dom likes music, so it'll be a great talk at 6:20 tonight with our pal Piet Levy, who has not been on the show for a while, so it'll be fun to welcome him back. We have a great question of the night. And our movie, just to let you guys know, on Thursday night in the second hour, this week's Nightlight Movie Club is Vacation, brought to you by the comedy stylings of Mr. Dom Lee. He chose this great classic that is a perfect summer movie because that's when you take family vacations. And it was a big hit and spawned many more lesser films of the Vacation franchise. But that one's a great one. I can't wait to discuss it with you guys on Thursday night.
Do you refer to it as Vacation or do you call it National Lampoon's Vacation?
I just say Vacation.
Okay.
Well, why? Do you?
No, there's no. I'm just simply asking because sometimes when you talk to people, it'll say, oh, I love the movie Vacation. And they'll be like, what? And you say, National Lampoon's Vacation. Because we grew.
What? They're just doing that, though, don't you think? You mean National Lampoon's Vacation?
I don't think so. No, they don't correct me. They don't know what I'm talking about because my entire life, it was always referred to as National Lampoon's Vacation or National Lampoon's European Vacation. So I feel like since the remake a few years ago, more people have been referring to it as Vacation, but that still leaves some folks in the dust going, I don't know what that movie is. Who's in that? And you say, oh, and you clarify and they go, oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Just curious.
Yeah, scary. That's interesting. I don't, I've never, and I can't think of another film that's called Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't think you'd need National Lampoon's Vacation, but either way, it's the technical title of it. Yeah, so that works.
Yeah.
All right. And Dom, you got to be excited. This is your second movie selection for us.
I am super excited. The first time I watched it was like a decade ago. So this is going to be basically rewatching a new movie for me because I haven't watched it in quite a while.
Did you see the Ed Helms one, the more recent one from 2018?
I haven't. Okay. No, not at all.
It wasn't bad. It was fun. You know, we'll talk more about that on Thursday. Yeah, it's a. I will say though. If you saw that movie a decade ago, you were definitely way too young to see that movie, but okay.
No. Sorry,
I'm sure he fell in love with Beverly D'Angelo like the rest of us.
I plead the fifth.
Okay.
He's like, I love the acting stylings of Anthony Michael Hall in any of his eras. You gotta start at the beginning.
So, all right. Well, be part of it, folks. We have a good time when we talk movies every night, or every Thursday, I should say, in the second hour. And this week's... film is Vacation. So we'll talk about our favorite lines, characters, scenes. And I know Chevy Chase is not very well liked and less so as he gets older, but he is still so damn funny in that movie.
He's very funny in that movie. Yeah. I wanted to watch the CNN came out with a documentary very recently. And I don't know if you guys saw they showed social media showed like the opening shot and this person just like, you know, getting set up and saying, you know, just want to have a talk. And he's just so incredibly like insulting is one thing. This is just flat out mean. Like he's like, I'm smarter than you. You'll never understand me. That's why I don't really want to have a conversation. Like, it's like you have to understand why people don't like you. Right, Chevy? You like have to understand this.
I think he knows. And I don't think he really cares. I think that's part of his shtick. And as he gets older, I don't think he has a handle on it. I don't think he has a filter that says, you know what, you're going too far. You're being a serious jerk. Like, it's funny in Fletch when you're belittling people that deserve to be belittled, but not in real life when people are just doing their jobs. So, I paid, I want to tell you guys this. I had to pay for gas today. I filled up, I think I told you this at the end of the show. It was actually yesterday, $89.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. In my Land Cruiser. Now, it's a big car. It's a gas guzzler. I get it. But $89, it was like in the 50s. It was like $52 the last time I filled it before the war, because that's how long it's been since I filled it. It's insanity.
Yeah. I can't remember. Well, no, I think I told you guys this. The last time I filled up my car, I also had to fill up my little tank for my lawnmower, and I paid $60 flat because the machine wasn't taking cards at the pump. So I had to go inside, and I said, hey, just give me $60 worth. And I filled... the little gas tank, and then I filled my car as much as possible. It wasn't full. It was $60 total. Like, it was, I just, and yesterday I'm driving home. I'm like, oh, gas is $4.59. And I thought to myself, don't be excited about that.
Yeah. It was $4.32 here, which is lower than anywhere I've seen it, but it's still almost double what it was, or whatever. I don't know if it was $3.09 or $2.95 or whatever it was, but it's a little crazy. The other thing that irritated me today, have you guys noticed this? Facebook Messenger. I have so many different ways to communicate with people. Sometimes I get confused. Was it text? Was it civic media message? Was it a Facebook message? Was it email? I don't know. Today, they asked me for a PIN. They say, if you want your chat history, you'll need to enter a PIN. And that really ticked me off. Is that a thing now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've been getting that for a long time. That's not new.
So did you pick a PIN and now you use a PIN? I don't want to.
I picked a PIN a long time ago just because I was like, I was annoyed, but I just did it because I didn't want to lose the history.
Sure.
But although it doesn't really matter. I mean, like the same thing, I think they have that on Twitter as well now. I mean, that's something I've been thinking about for a while. Like, I'm all for security. Like, I don't want anyone to hack me. I don't want anyone to get in my system. But now there are so many method verifications out there that it just feels like the other day I was trying to sign in. We were doing our taxes and I had to sign into one of our investment accounts. And I was on my computer for 20 minutes before I ever got into the account because I just set up all of these things. I'm
terrible.
Like, can I just give you a password? I'll give you a name, a password, and you can ask me the question I signed up for 5 years ago.
Right.
But now you want me to give you a phone number, give you an email address, get a message, sign in the message. If I don't sign the message fast enough, then it expires and I have to get a new message. I get it. But then at the end of the day, recently got an email saying, hey, your social security number might be on the dark web or whatever. And I called my bank and they said, there's not a lot we can do. It's people can get your stuff. So and why, am I signing up for all these notifications? Like, why am I signing up for those?
I don't want to give them my phone number and my email. I don't want them to have that because they're just going to sell it or do more stuff. And I'm so cynical. I don't think it's really that they care about my security. I think they just want the information.
Really, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
Hey, I think it's time, guys. We get to our question of the night.
I believe so.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Name a TV show cancellation you can't quite get over. That's more of a nightlight statement of the night. I could have reworded that, I suppose, to make it a
What
question.
Is a show that got canceled that you are still upset about?
It was just that simple.
Next but time, though, Pete, say it with like, be like, tell me a show that was canceled that you're upset about.
Right. I'm not avowing. But tell
go
us.
To your Alex, go to your Alex Jones voice. Is there a show out that got canceled that the deep state took away from you? Ah!
Which is now The Onion, by the way. Which
yeah, exactly.
But let us know. Is there a show that got canceled? Even if it was on for like 12 years, folks, tell us the show. That you can't get over that they canceled it. I have a couple really good ones, and I love this question. So be part of the show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app.
Ooh.
Or if you're watching the radio on Facebook, X, Twitter, or YouTube, drop us a stream comment and be part of the fun here on Tuesday Nightlight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So some good news coming out of the town of Watertown, the town, small village. I guess they're a city. So as we talked about last week, the symphony, the school symphony, the wind symphony, the wind choir, I think they were called. They were going to do a song. They were going to do a concert. And one of the songs that was on there was taken out because it was written in tribute to Marsha P. Johnson, who is credited as starting the Stonewall Riot, starting the modern revolution for folks, for, you know, the queer revolution here in America. And, you know, you can go back and read about the history of this with the school, but basically the kids will be able to play the song, but not at school, at a local church. A church is stepping up in place of the public school that is not allowing them to play this, wait for it, wordless song called, it's called A Mother of a Revolution, written by Omar Thomas. And he will be at the event to watch them play this song at the church. I think this is wonderful.
I thought he was going to conduct them. Isn't he going to, I think he's going to lead them, Greg.
You're right.
And I think the church is flying him in, which is really cool.
Yep, composer Omar Thomas will travel to Watertown on Wednesday to conduct a performance of the piece. This will be done at a local church, the Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Watertown, which that's just mind-blowing to me that a church is like, hey, public school, we'll take this from here and let these kids play this song. I still think they should have played the song at the school, but that's amazing. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
I was going to say it's both good news, but also it's still very frustrating because those school board members just
And they wouldn't even talk. They wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't.
They would not even talk after the vote. They're so gutless. You're right, Greg. Emmanuel Lutheran Church, and it's going to be live stream, folks. So if you want to check it out, I'm sure you can find that out with a Google, or maybe we can find that out during the break and tell you how you can do it as a show of support. Great stuff. Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. We got a great question tonight, folks. Name a TV show you can't get over the fact that it was canceled. Let us know. We are coming right back to talk more about the news, and we've got something really funny we're going to play for you, too. Nightlight with Pete and Greg, coming right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Man, that song was tailor-made for Tuesday night radio.
Yeah.
That was beautiful, Dom.
It's like no one ever talks about how yacht rock that song is.
Yeah.
But that's a song you would play on a boat.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. That is the voice of Greg Bach. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight, and we are coming to you live on the Civic Media Network. I am broadcasting from Northeast Wisconsin, On a beautiful day, Greg is in Radio Park in Racine, and our pal Dom Lee is producing the show from Madison. We are the Otter Hay Triangle, and it is great to have you here tonight with us. Our question of the night is, name a TV show cancellation you just can't get over. We've all got them. Be part of the show. We'll read your texts a little later. Speaking of texts, this is great. We got Annie from Watertown, as you mentioned, Greg. She says, Emmanuel, referring to Emmanuel Lutheran Church, is great for such a gig. I wonder how she means that, like if the acoustics are great or if it's just a good space or what. But
I bet you
I'll take
your
word for it. Yeah.
Annie, if, Annie, if you're listening right now, go into detail, please.
Please, let us know. Yeah. Hey, there's a couple other things going on, and one in particular, news story I just love. But before we get to that one, I want to. This one I don't love, Greg.
No.
How do you feel about January Sixers being compensated for what they did on January 6th when it comes to legal fees, possibly hospital bills or whatever, or because they can't afford lawyers? The DOJ, Trump's, it's now referred to as Donald Trump's Justice Department, has allotted almost $1.8 billion because Trump dropped his $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS. It's so convoluted. I have trouble following it, I'll be honest. But the bottom line is, and what stuck with me, is these people that stormed the Capitol, that injured people and broke the law are probably going to be compensated.
And people died too.
And people died.
And pardoned. They're going to possibly get money. And what's really funny is that the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, former personal attorney for Donald Trump, is trying to say, well, this is just like something that President Barack Obama did. And I don't know what's really going to go on. I mean, I'm only appointing all of the members of this committee who are going to decide who gets the money. And it can be from anyone in any party. It's anyone who feels like the law enforcement has been weaponized against them. Here's the best part. Well, it's all best parts, really, when it comes down to it. Part of this whole deal is that the IRS is never allowed to investigate. They are, quote, forever barred from pursuing any related investigation into Trump or his relatives, including into any tax returns filed before when? Yesterday. So he essentially gave them a blanket pardon from the IRS for any past indiscretions. I'm sure he'll do that for the future ones too. But yeah, I mean, this is just, we are going to be possibly paying traitors, and we are going to be compensating them for their riotous acts. And the president, by the way, talked about it in a press conference, and we have a small clip about that too.
Yeah.
Sure.
God,
I mean,
that's enough.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I mean,
he knew very little about it, but he knows it's very well received.
And they were weaponized by him on the day of January 6th, where he told them to go take a walk, and they did, and people died for it, including people who stood with them. So to me, like, again, we are now who are we paying now? We're paying traitors from January 6th, possibly. We're paying out farmers who got messed over by the tariffs. We're paying out businesses that got messed over by. We're just doing a lot of paying here, folks. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm paying $60 for a tank of gas, and now I'm also paying for people who stormed the Capitol. Amazing.
But at least he is not taking a salary.
No.
Wink, wink.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And he also said, this is loyalty over the law. So apparently, if you're loyal, the law means nothing. So.
If only Mike Pence hadn't certified that election.
Oh, my
gosh. That was the first.
What a coward. What a coward. Right.
Speaking of MAGA folks, this cracked me up. This is a guy. Oh, I misplaced his name already. But he was testifying in Louisiana about. Help me out here, Greg. I can't find my notes.
So after the U.S. Supreme Court handed down their redistricting decision, basically we saw a bunch of – I'm trying to find it here now, too. I saw this, too, this gentleman here. It's a video of a man testifying in front of his city council, and he basically called them out, and he said that these individuals are the new Confederacy. He's wearing a hat that said Trump did everything wrong. And basically the guy sitting at the podium or at the who is one of the members of the council decided to fire back an amazing, amazing burn. So we can play that too really quick. I love that's my line right there. Did Pam
so
bond you?
Great.
That was a Louisiana state senator trying to burn a guy who called him to his face the new Confederacy. Good
and
job,
he
sir.
Just, my favorite part is when he says, "Burn."
Yeah,
you can't. That's brilliant, and I love that he stood up for himself. So great. All right, when we come back, folks, we're going to talk about some really cool new cycling trails here in Wisconsin with our guest, Bill Bertram, from the Wausau. He is the board president of the Parks Federation in Wausau and Marion County. We're going to do that next. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach, coming to you live from various parts of our beautiful state of Wisconsin, and we are going to turn our attention to another very beautiful part of the state, too, central Wisconsin, as we welcome our first guest of the night. He is a board member with Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. I believe president. We'll clarify that in just a moment. He joins us tonight to discuss potentially central Wisconsin becoming the biking capital of the world. Maybe I'm aiming too high there, but we'll get the lowdown. Bill Bertram joins us now on Nightlight over the stream. How are you tonight, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing
very
thanks
well.
For being
thank
here.
You.
Good. Yeah.
It's great to have you here.
I have to correct you, Pete. It's the biking capital of the universe. Not just
oh.
the world. Yeah. So we're thinking big.
God, I blew it. All right.
I can't believe we were thinking so small there. My goodness.
I know it. Yeah.
I thought, start with Marathon County and see what happens after that. But Bill's already got the universe, so that's good.
Yeah, we got big ideas.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Aim high. Tell us, Bill, why is red granite so good for cycling?
Yeah, so we're really blessed in a five-county area that we have. The red granite here goes back 1.8 billion years to pre-Cambrian times. It is a faceted stone, and it interlocks on itself, and it compacts about 95% of the value of asphalt. So for bikers that ride gravel, this is kind of one of the epicenters for riding because of that red granite. And we get people from all over the U.S. Come here just to ride our gravel.
Well, and that was going to be part of my next question. It sounds like, what you're trying to do now is letting the world know on what could be the best kept secret for cyclists. Is that something, how long you've been working on trying to get the word out there as far as like this project right now with regard to the granite belt?
Yeah, so we actually have a couple local guys that ride about 1,200 miles every summer on the granite in this five-county area centered around Wausau and Marathon County. And so we pitched it to the state just about a year ago and branded it around what we call Wisconsin Gravel. And they were incredibly enthusiastic about it for a couple reasons. One is gravel bike riding is one of the fastest segments of biking, and the other is e-bikes. And so both of them lend to our type of gravel here. So we created almost 900 miles of gravel trails or routes using existing dairy roads, logging roads, fire roads, rails to trails, and rustic roads in that five county area. So we tied them all together, looped them into a trail system. So, and then created eight trail communities where you can start and stop your adventures in that five county area.
Amazing.
So I want to go back a little bit to the geology of this, if we could, because I'm not a cyclist. You're saying gravel and then red granite. The Granite Belt, as I understand it, relies on existing rural infrastructure like dairy roads, at least in the article I read, and then logging routes and gravel corridors. Like I said, I'm not a cyclist. I do have a slick Schwinn Varsity. I'd love to show up sometime. But
I don't blame you. I'd show it off too. I just wouldn't ride it.
I got a Huffy Vortex when I was 10.
Oh my God.
It has the hubcaps on the white wheels. So
he could do some sweet jumps.
You know, if it didn't weigh 200 pounds, I could do some sweet jumps.
Yeah, and that'd probably be worth some money.
can you explain what dairy roads and logging routes are and how they're good for cycling? It all sounds very dangerous, Bill. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, there's nothing dangerous about it. When you look at this part of the state, it was the logging roads were first cut in to cut the white pine and the red pine in the northern forest. And as the white pine was cut down, Marathon County, Taylor County, parts of Lincoln County became the dairy land, the heartland of Wisconsin for dairy farms. And the 1890s, early 1900s, they used this red granite. Sometimes they call it rotten granite up here to pave the roads. And so as the dairy farms have decreased in number, it's left these roads mostly abandoned for bikers. And so a lot of them go through the national forest, they go through state forest areas. And so there's incredible scenery, iconic red barns, along two national scenic trails. One's a water trail and the other one is the Ice Age Trail that parallel it. So the scenery is just sort of incredible. And typically the bikers that, you know, ride today, road biking is in decline, and a lot of particularly women want to move over to gravel and for family biking. And so the speed limits on these gravel roads are about 35 miles an hour. So it really lends itself to biking and very few cars. And you might run into an occasional moo from a cow or a tractor, but not much else.
Okay.
And I guess I'm in the same boat as Pete too, is like, you know, when I hear gravel or granite, I think, well, that sounds dangerous, because when I think about riding a bike, I'm like, I want to ride on like concrete. I know it's smooth, it's flat. And to me, I think of like falling over a lot because I'm not very coordinated, hence not buying a bike since I was 10. But as far as like, you know, you talked about the, you know, folks come from all over the country and all over the world to ride on this system. What is the, like, going forward with this new plan, what is the economic impact for the community, for the area, as far as like getting it out to the wider world and actually like really, really trying to market what you have up there?
Yeah, you know, great question. So, you know, it's really folks like you getting the word out. And when we launched the Granite Belt, we have the state of Wisconsin came in as one of our partners to create a master marketing plan to blow this out across the U.S., but particularly in the Chicagoland, northern Illinois corridor. But so we're just at the front end of that today, and a lot of it is in magazines and people word of mouth come here, and then in the fall we have an epic race here called the Red Granite Grinder in the community of Athens. And that draws about 600 bikers from all over the U.S. to ride that gravel. And, you know, there's all kinds of types of gravel. I grew up in Iowa, and down there they call it white rock or limestone. And then the granite can be the rock can be the size of a golf ball. Up here, the granite is really fine. And, probably the size of a third the size of a pea. And because it's a faceted stone like a diamond, it interlocks on itself and it creates a really hard pack to ride on. And that's really the uniqueness of granite. And we're just blessed with a lot of red granite up here. And it makes for a great surface to ride on. And we don't have too many people fall, but they're not driving a
challenge
driving a
accepted.
Huffy bike.
Yeah. Bill.
Yeah. Come on up.
You don't have many people fall on a bike with a banana seat. That's what I'm hearing. Or with
oh
a
yeah,
cool
there you
bell.
Go. The banana seat and the high handlebars might be a challenge for you. But you know, as an example, we just had the governor up here 2 weeks ago, and the first time he's ever ridden on Granite. He's a street rider. And he came up to, ride the Granite, and he was like, "Hey, I'm not sure I can do this, but you can ride Granite up here with any type of bike and any, for the most part, any tire size. But most of the bikes today are gravel or e-bikes, but you can use mountain bikes on them, and you can use street bikes if the tire's wide enough. So yeah, it's perfect."
Good to know. Bill Bertram is on the, he's a board member with the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. They are doing some great things in central Wisconsin to make it the biking capital of the universe, folks. You might, don't be surprised if you see some green little aliens riding bikes through central Wisconsin.
Or,
it could
or
happen.
Or if you believe in the multiverse, another you.
That's right. Exactly. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would be.
I read an article too about what you guys are offering, like in terms of the trails. And you mentioned there were 8 to 12 points of interest where cyclists could stop and read about the history of this area of our state. What are some of those points of interest?
Yeah, you know, there's 13 types of barns, for example, and our trail system has all 13 types, from round barns to Dutch barns to English barns to gabled barns. And what we found in looking at the data is that bicyclists like to stop at what we call point of interest signs and learn about either the area or the state. So, you know, one of the signs is, how did Wisconsin earn the dairy state title? Or, you know, what's unique about Red Granite? I had some buddies up from Chicago a couple years ago, and we were out riding, and they said, "What are all those tubes on the trees?" And I said, "Well, they're tapping and sapping maple." And so we have signage that talks about what that process is. And so we have actually created a library, I think, of 84 unique signs that we have on the different trails that talk about one room schoolhouses or,
nice.
kind of the history of barn raisings and life on the farm or the dairy farm and why a cow goes moo and not, hee-haw. So we some of the signs are funny and kind of amusing, and others are more serious content. But it really, we wanted to create an emotional connection to the bike riders so they come back and back. And then we took this project and we said, hey, there's an opportunity to scale this across the state. So now we're working with other groups up in the Superior area, for example. That's called the Rift geologically by the Geological Society of Wisconsin, because it was the original, you can look at the bedrock and see that was the coast of Pangea some billion, years ago. And we're up in Iron County in Ashland, that becomes the Iron Belt. And south of us, around Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids becomes the Central Sands. That was the bottom of Lake Wisconsin in the last glacial age.
Wow.
And so we've used the Geological Society has brought out a map to me when I was down there 6 months ago. And I said, we were trying to figure out how to name these regions. And they said, this is really easy. Just look at our geology. We have some of the most unique geology in the United States in the state of Wisconsin. And so that's how we've come up with different areas to focus on after the Granite Belt.
Wow, that's a...
we just have like a minute before we have to do a break, Bill, and then we'll get back into it again. But just real quick, is it safe? Like, are there cars? Are cyclists in any danger of... I know the rural roads, but what are the dangers, if any?
You know, I think the dangers occasionally might be... you'd come across maybe a tractor or maybe a deer on the road or a porcupine or something. These are pretty rural roads. And they go through, the trailheads are all in rural communities. And so it also helps strengthen these rural communities to get bikers into them. And the communities are like 100% behind this. This has been a home run for them in terms of creating what we call trail towns.
Well, it's good that we have, or that that area of our state has an actual trailblazer like yourself. And we'll talk a little bit more with our guest, Bill Bertram. And we're going to talk about a really cool award he's won as well. We are coming right back. This is a Tuesday night version of Nightlight, perfect for some yacht rock, Dom. I would agree with that. So don't go anywhere, folks. We are coming right back, and I'll remind you of what our really cool question of the night is, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe, sitting just upstate from Greg Bach and a little bit east and north of our pal Dom Lee, who is holding down the fort in Madison. We are the Yacht or Hay Triangle, and it is great to have you with us on this Tuesday night for a Tuesday edition of Nightlight, folks. Our question of the night is, name a show, or what is a show would be more question form, that you were that you just couldn't get over the cancellation of. Share that show. I've actually got two. We'll read your texts after the news early in hour number two, but be part of the show. We have a few more minutes with our guest, Bill Bertram. He is a cycling enthusiast and the board member, a board member of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation, and the recent recipient of a Partner in Excellence Award from the RTCA, which is the Rivers, Trails, and Conservation Assistance Program Midwest Region. Bill, that's really exciting to be recognized like that. And as much as you do for the outdoors and making it more feasible and more of a focus in central Wisconsin, do you ever just get tired of it and say, I just want to sit inside and watch TV for a while?
Absolutely not.
Come on, Bill.
I wish I could say that, but, you know, this is going to sound crazy. I actually lived in the Netherlands, worked for a corporation, and took early retirement to get involved in civics. And when I told the company I worked for, they go, you know, you could probably have any job in the world for what you've done. What are you going to, you know, we'll bring you back to the U.S. or you could stay in Europe. And I said, I want to retire. And I want to, this sounds the nutty part. I want to devote the rest of my life to doing good by my community and giving back for what I had received. And so that's, I don't get into the coffee club type thing at breakfast with other retirees. And I just felt that I could make a difference in our larger community. And that's what I focus on.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I hope more people hear this because I feel like we need more folks like yourself. That's great. That's wonderful. And congratulations on the award too. Question I have for you is, someone who's such an enthusiast of the Granite Belt, of everything going on, what is your favorite part of it? Like when you're riding something, if you're riding with a friend, you want to stop. All right, stop. We got to point this out. I want to get this to you. I want to put this information in your head. What's like your, what's your favorite part or parts of the trail?
Yeah. So since there's 13 distinct trails, and they all, offer a little bit something different. I think when I have people come up and ride, a lot of it is the trails just north of us where it parallels the Wisconsin River, up in Lincoln County. Some of those sites and vistas are just short of incredible. Mm-hmm. But I still get, really turned on when, you know, I come past an iconic red, barn and a farm and seeing cows. And, and I think it's that idea of, you know, introducing the rest of the country to what we have in Wisconsin and then what we have here. Yeah. And so I do a lot of recreational bike riding. When I retired, I started an outdoor rec business called Iron Bull that we use that to bring people to central Wisconsin to do our races. So as an example, this coming Saturday, we have the largest adventure race in the United States being held here. So we typically use that to get people to come up here and experience our trail systems and the biking. So so there's some just, again, incredible vistas here and the scenery. But I think there's the trails are kind of, I didn't design them, so, but they're enjoyable to ride and because they offer you a little bit of everything.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. That is great. Bill, we have a couple more minutes. I love that something I read in one of these articles when I was doing some research on you, you guys are trying to determine the economic impact of the gravel trails. But for an example, last year in Vilas County, you had 160,000 bikers come. The economic impact was like $23 million. That's incredible. And will that only grow? Is the word getting out?
Yeah. You know, in today's world, at least with foundations and sponsors, it's not just enough anymore to say, hey, you're going to feel good. This is a great experience and gives you a warm fuzzy. It's we want to know what the return on investment is if we put our money into to your organization or what you work on. Economic impact is critically important to see if we're winning or losing. Wisconsin is an exit state for young people. Marathon County is an exit county. There's just a couple counties in the state that are growing. So that economic impact, the ability to draw people here to want to live and experience what we all experience is today critically important to us. And so we use that economic impact to with local businesses as well as foundations and then ways to attract people here.
That's I mean, a great that, answer.
That's a, yeah.
I was just going to ask, like, are these only bike trail? Like, can people hike or can they camp along the trails at all?
Yeah. So we have our longest trail is 357 miles loop trail. Oof. And we have camping all along it. And it's, we believe, the first branded bike packing trail in the state. And that's another fast growing segment of biking is people that want to bike and camp, and they call it adventure touring. So we created that to draw people here from around the country that want that experience.
That's great stuff, Bill. If you if you're out on the trail and you hear someone and a little ringer bell, and I say on your left, that's just me. I just want to let you know in case.
Okay.
I'll be very courteous.
Those little like things that are hanging off the handlebar that's that are flowing in the wind.
I'll have a baseball card in the spokes, and Greg and I will be on his Huffy together. It'll look really
weird. It's a tandem bike. It's actually a tandem bike.
Oh, that's even better. Bill Bertram, keep up the great work, sir. Win many more
guys.
Awards and draw more people to your area. Yeah. It's a beautiful area. Hey, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you guys a ton. So you have
got
a great
it.
Evening.
All right, okay. We are coming right back after the news to read your texts and have a few more laughs and a lot of fun. It's great to have you here with us on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. He's Greg Bach. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.